Today, to start off the year, we are beginning a new series called Abide. And you find this word in John chapter 15, verse 4. In different translations, it uses a different word. In the NIV, it actually says, "Remain in me, and I will remain in you." But in many translations, the word here is abide. Abide in me, and I will abide in you. So learning to abide is something that we felt the Lord was putting on our hearts. And we're going to look at different aspects of how do we abide. Because we've been specifically told by Christ to abide in him. And what does that look like? What are the aspects that are required for us to abide? And the first in this series is that abiding means to dwell with, to remain, as it says in the NIV. But abiding is to dwell with, to have unity with, to be intimate with, all of these different things. And the first aspect of learning to abide in Christ, learning to abide in God, is that we need to trust. Mm-hmm. So that's what we're going to look at today, is how do we abide, but specifically through trusting the Lord. And we start off with the first aspect, because even trust needs to be unpacked. We think of trust as in not second-guessing someone or all of these aspects, but to begin with, to trust means to lean on, right? My husband loves to use the illustration that you can say that you believe the chair will hold your weight, but until you actually sit in the chair and put it to work, when you actually lean on it, that's when you're showing and demonstrating actual trust. So sometimes we think about our Christian faith, we think about our commitment to Christ, and we say, oh yeah, I trust the Lord, I trust the Lord. I believe in him, I believe in scripture, but that's not what it is. What we have to do is actually lean on the scriptures. We have to lean on his promises, we have to lean on the Lord in such a way that we're proving, actually, that what he says is good and true and faithful. So looking at one of the most famous verses about trusting the Lord is Proverbs 3, 5, and 6.
Yeah, so, and it, we had to, I kind of was fighting not to use this verse, but you have to just because it's there. And we'll just read verse 5 for right now. We'll go to 6 in a later point. But it says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. So if it's saying lean not on your understanding, that means we lean on God. And it's really important, again, with this visualization of us actually sitting down on the chair when we trust in the chair, is the same thing that we have to do with our lives. When we abide in the Lord, when we totally intertwine our lives with him, that's when we fully trust in him, that we know that he's not movable. That if I lean on him through the times of struggle, through the times of celebration, through every point in our lives, when we lean on him, he's going to be there. And it might not look the way that we understand he should be there for us, but he's not moving. He's somebody that I can fully put my weight, mm-hmm. put my trust, put my hope, all that in him. So this is a very important verse that, again, very famous, but it's really important for us to understand that we have to lean on the Lord. We have to lean on the Lord. And it says with all our heart, with all our heart, with all our understanding. So it's not only I love that it says both heart and here this talks about understanding, is that it can't be just in our head. Like, well, I know that I should trust God. I know that he got me. Mm-hmm. But we need to, like, with our hearts, with all our emotions, to, like, freely just give up and surrender our thinking and just knowing that God's thinking, God has us for the time where we need him, like, at all times, actually, when we need him. So we need to have that ability to lean on him. What he says in the scriptures, how he has been faithful through our lives, how he's been faithful through other people's lives, when we hear the testimonies and see the testimonies, that's how we know that we can lean on him. Like in this circle right here, I can look at each and every person and know how God has carried each and every one of us through our lives. through the accidents, through the health, through family struggles, through all these things that we all have experience or individual experience, I can look and say like, hey, I saw God provide for them and they were able to lean on him. Mm-hmm. That means I can lean on him also. Okay, so that's an important way to understand that.
Right. And part of leaning on, right, is the fact that there's been a track record of that's been proven that allows you to lean on mm-hmm. on God. Every single day, we put our trust in a million things. You know, Dave, you're in charge of the train, and all those people get on and off the train, and they don't even know you, but they're trusting that you will get them to their destination safely, right? Lillian, as a fitness instructor, you have all these women who are coming, and they're trusting that you're going to help guide them towards health and nutrition, right? I mean, we all have, and I could go through one by one, and we also likewise do the same. You go to a restaurant, and you're trusting the cooks, maybe we shouldn't, but that they're going to provide, you know, a meal, and they're going to prepare it in a way that's healthy. So when we look at trusting God, it's not just this blind faith or this blind trust, but we're going off the fact that in a million and one ways every single day, he proves that he is trustworthy, that mm-hmm. he is faithful.
Yeah.
With the breath in our lungs, with, you know, the million ways that our body alone works that we're not even conscious of. Our heart is beating, mm-hmm. our blood is pumping, our cells are doing these incredible things. I was just talking to my son's friend the other day about how on a cellular level, our cells take in nutrition and provide energy. And we watched these videos of how it happens and how it works. And it was just mind-blowing. And we're completely unaware of it on a daily basis. And it's happening in every single cell of our body 24 hours a day. So those are things that we just trust that those processes will work. But God is the one behind it. He's the one who's making it happen. And what this Proverbs verse is saying is in the opposite, that we're trusting in the Lord and not our own understanding, right? In all of these things that I just gave as examples, the people who are getting on the train, they don't understand how the train works. They don't understand how to drive a train. They're trusting in the areas where they don't understand and where they don't know. And God calls us into those spaces where we trust in him because we don't understand,
mm-hmm.
because his will doesn't make sense. Will you trust him when it doesn't make sense? It's easy to follow God when you're like, oh yeah, this seems logical. This makes a lot of sense. But will you trust in him? Will you lean on him when he leads you to things that you don't understand, that you can't fix, you can't figure it out?
Mm-hmm.
He's asking you to do things that are uncomfortable. Will you lean on him and will you trust him in that? And John 14, verse 1, Jesus commands, and he says, he speaks actually encouragement to his disciples. He says, do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me. He points out that they have already learned to trust God. They've already learned to trust the Father because of all he has done. But their time with him has actually been relatively short. They've only walked with him a couple of years. But because of all he has done and all he has proven and all he has shown, he reminds them to trust in him. But what is important about this is when he gives this verse, it's in the context. We always like to take the verse in the larger context. In the chapters preceding, Jesus tells them he predicts his death. He predicts his arrest. He predicts his betrayal. He tells them that he's leaving them. He says all these things that are very, very upsetting to them, things that don't make sense because they believed that he was going to be a king. They believed he was the Savior and the Messiah. But yet here he is telling them that he's going to die and he's going to be betrayed and that he will be leaving them. So in that context, he says, don't be troubled. Trust in me. So God calls us to lean on him and trust in him when it doesn't make sense.
Yeah. Yeah, so it's a couple of verses. I'll just read through them. Psalm 28:7 says, the Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusts in him, and I am helped. My heart leaps for joy, and I will give thanks to him in songs. So it's totally given this up to God of this trust, because he is our strength, because he is our shield. And it's happening from the heart. It's happening from the inside out. It's just, it's not even anything on the outside physical. It's just from the heart itself. I can trust him because he has proven to me over and over again. And he is my strength. I love that he is my strength, that I can carry things. And he also shield. He also protects me. When I lean on him and on his understanding, I get more strength. When I lean on him and his understanding, he protects me. And that brings joy into my life. Same way in understanding where our trust should be. Psalm 20, verses 7, it says, "Some trust in chariots, some in horses, but we trust in the name of the Lord our God." So where is our trust? Where does it trust? It shows like they kind of use chariots and horses because those were the showed where the power is, right? The more chariots and horses you have, that means you have more military. The more that means you can take on nations and armies with those things. And here, David, King David's like, I don't care how many chariots I have. I don't care how many horses I have because I know my victory is in the Lord. So I'm going to just trust the Lord that he's going to provide for this. So again, when we're going through things in our lives, we don't need to look at how good my insurance is. We don't need to look at and how much I know about how to take care of yourself health-wise, which is all important, right? It's all important. The biggest thing that we trust is in the Lord. Mm-hmm. When we're in the ER, we trust in the Lord. When we are at home sick, we trust in the Lord. When we unemployed, we trust in the Lord. That's where we trust. We're not trusting in anything else. We're not trusting in our saving accounts and all that other stuff.
Right. Just like we're not trusting in our understanding. We're not trusting in our own smarts, our own skill, mm-hmm. our own, all of these things that tend to be what we go to first. And then when they run out, mm-hmm. then we go to the Lord. Then we pray. Then mm-hmm. we ask for help. Right. When really, it should be the other way around. Absolutely. We should be coming to him first, yeah. Which we'll look at that in just a second. But the last part on how we need to lean as far as trust is 2 Corinthians 12:9. It says, "But he said to me, 'My grace is sufficient for you. My power is made perfect in weakness.'" And then at the end in verse 10, he says, "For when I am weak, then I am strong." So when we lean on the Lord, we lean on when we're weak. We lean on him when we don't have the resources, when we don't. We should lean on him when things are good. But we should also know that he is made, his power is revealed perfectly when we are at the end of ourselves. Mm-hmm. His power is made perfect in our weakness. And when we feel the weakest, when we feel the lost, when we feel the most confused, that is actually when we are the strongest, because we're not relying on our own strength, but we're relying on the strength of God Almighty.
Yeah. So the next step of abiding is when we show the trust of the Lord is when we lack of worry, when we don't have, we're not worrying about right. things. Right?
You know that you trust someone when you don't worry about it, right? If you're in a relationship and you're constantly worrying that they're cheating on you, or where are they, or they're lying to you, or this or that, if you're worried all the time, then that means you're not trusting that individual. And a relationship honestly doesn't work without trust, mm-hmm. right? You kind of get into this cycle. If you don't Amen. Trust the person, you're questioning them all the time, then that person begins to withdraw, maybe begins to hide stuff because they're afraid that you're always going to come after them. So you end up in this cycle where trust is broken and the relationship cannot function. So if we claim to trust the Lord, then we'll know. If we're worried all the time, then that shows us that we're not actually trusting in the Lord. And we need to trust him in order to abide as Christ tells us to abide. So the first part that we're looking at with this is Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6, verse 25, 26 and 27.
It says, look at the birds. This is Jesus speaking. "Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Who of you worrying can add a single hour to his life?" So this is, and he broke it down a lot here. He talks about they do not sow, they do not reap, meaning they're not working. There's no saving accounts over there. They're not working the saving accounts, but he still provides for them. There's still provision for them. And he's reminding us that listen, like, you are more precious than the birds. Now, are they going to get you a brand new car? And is God going to provide? He provides your needs. He provides the needs that we have in our lives. So for us to get to a point of not worrying, I think that's a very mature place to be. Mm-hmm. That when bills are piling up and we're just like, no, God got this. And health is, again, I just keep on repeating this, but like not having that worry. That we need to be due diligent, but we should not worry, and knowing that God has our back.
Right. And if this is something that we feel, you know, we're in a season that we struggle with, where you're not sure how you're going to cover the finances, where you're stressed about your health or your family or a million other things, the state of the world, the way things are right now, and you find yourself continually having, you know, racing thoughts or a sense of anxiety or all of these things, I would really encourage you to sit and meditate and reflect on Matthew chapter 6, 25, all the way through verse 34, because he really lays it out. And he says not to worry about your life, not to worry about your food, not to worry about your clothing. And at one point, he actually, in verse 30, he says, how much more will he clothe you? In other words, he's going to give you more than you even need if we trust. And he says, oh, you have little faith. And the word there for faith can also mean trust. So he's saying, if you worry about these things, then you have little trust. And we don't want to be people of small faith. We don't want to be people of little trust. We want to be people who can fully lean on him, right, and trust him. And as we seek his kingdom first, right, verse 33, all these other things will be added as well. So we need not worry, right? And I love that it finishes, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. So let's only focus on the next hour, on the next day, on whatever the next segment of time that we can actually grapple with, and then leave the rest to him.
Yeah. And there's many, many verses, and we're going to go through some of them, that really talk about not having this worry. 1 Peter 5:7, really quickly, it says, Cast all your anxiety on him, because he cares for you. It's this wonderful reminder that he cares. He cares. He absolutely cares. And I love that it says, cast all your anxiety on him. That means we can give it to him. He's a big God. He's like, if we come to him, he's like, God, I'm struggling with this. I'm worried about this. It's okay. He's not going to be offended that you're worried about something. What he's excited about, that you're bringing it to him. You're not bringing it to the bank or to whoever else. Like, you're bringing it to him. And that's where the power comes. Where it's like, hey, I laid it in front of him. That I did my part. I trusted him. I gave him my anxiety. I gave him my worries. And then now he's going to do his thing.
Right. So Isaiah 41 verse 10. Again, reminding ourselves that we don't need to worry. And the reason we don't need to worry is because God cares about us. When someone loves and cares for us, they will make sure that we are okay. And Isaiah 41 verse 10 says, do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. So he is with us. Sometimes I think we forget that. And part of the reason why we stress and we worry and we don't trust him is because we don't see him. It's so much easier to lean on the person to your left or to your right or on your own resources, because they're right in front of you. They're tangible. You can grasp them with your five senses. But we have to know that he is with us, that he will never leave us. He will never forsake us. He will give us the strength and the help that we need. And even though he may not change our circumstances, even though he may not give us what we want, he is there with us through it and will provide for us. And I love the visual of, I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. And this alludes to the fact that other scripture says that he looked for someone who he could trust to defend and to uphold righteousness, and he found no one. And so he extends his own right hand to bring salvation. And we know that Christ is seated at the right hand. Mm-hmm. So literally, when he says, I will uphold you with my righteous right hand, he's already alluding to the fact that Christ will do that work on the cross. And through that work on the cross, we will find strength and help in our time of trouble. Yeah.
Yeah. The other verse that, again, we just want to give you some verses to encourage you as we're teaching about abiding, teaching about trusting, that when we are going through things, these verses you can lean on. I really hope that as you guys are taking notes or is listening, that these are the verses that you would go to, because they are important. They are something that we get to truly lean on. Psalm 40, again, Dave speaks. I waited patiently for the Lord. He turned to me and heard my cry. He lifted me out of the slimy pit, out of the mud and mire. He set my feet on the rock and gave me a firm place to stand. Again, another reminder that, first of all, he hears our cries. He does not ignore the prayers that we lift up for him, to him. He hears us. He hears us. He hears our words. He hears our cries. And he does take us out of that pit. And he puts us on a firm foundation, which is for us, is his word. It's for us, is his promise. It's for us, is his son. He is the firm foundation that we can stand on. We can truly stand on. That we need to look for. Because, yeah, sometimes it feels like we're slippery and we're not going anywhere. We're on such a shaky ground. But Jesus tells us, foundation, I am that foundation. I am the rock that we can trust on.
Mm-hmm. And that, again, this alludes to, that doesn't mean that we're never going to have troubles. Mm-hmm. It doesn't mean that we never have doubt. The reality is we will have troubles, and there'll be times when we might even start to panic. We may be overcome with anxiety, and that doesn't mean that we beat ourselves up about it, but what we should know how to do is respond. When we sense ourselves becoming anxious or worried, we come back to the foot of the cross. We come to the Lord, and we leave these things at his feet, and we trust that he will uphold us by his righteous right hand. And going back to that illustration, you know, I thought of Matthew chapter 14, where Jesus calls Peter to get out of the boat, right? Mm-hmm. And Peter, you know, we might judge him because he gets out there and he starts to sink. But the reality is that there were 11 other gatitos who were too scared to get out of the boat at all, right? But Peter steps out in faith. He responds to the call of Jesus, and he begins to waver, right? And he begins to sink. But in that moment, he calls out to Jesus, right? And that's what we need to do, is when we feel ourselves sinking, we call out to him, and he reaches out his hand, right? That righteous right hand. He reaches out his hand, and he pulls Peter out of the water, and he says, "Why did you doubt?" Right? He doesn't say, "What kind of disciple are you? And you know what? Forget it. You're no longer an apostle. I'm going to find somebody else because you can't seem to get this right." No, he just says, "Why did you doubt?" And there is a part of it of like, he's walking on water. He is standing on water, and you're not trusting the fact that he's called you, and so he's going to take care of you. But when it's an encouragement, because when we waver, when we doubt, all we have to do is call out to him, and he will grab us by the hand, and he will uphold us and give us the strength that we need.
And in that visual, not only Jesus puts out his hand and grabs Peter out of the water, he also calms the storm, and he also puts him back into the boat. Yeah. So when there's all this storm, and we're wavering, and we're sinking, and we feel all these things, when we finally reach out and cry out to Jesus, and he grabs onto us, all that is around us will calm down when we finally hold on to him. Mm-hmm. He will take us away from those sinking places and put us in a firm place, which at that point was a boat.
Yeah.
Where he
felt safe.
We're right? Safe, yeah. He puts us in the safety.
Isaiah 26:3 says it this way: "You will keep in perfect peace him whose mind is steadfast, because he trusts in you." This does not mean that you never doubt. This does not mean that you'll never feel afraid. Or the reason why over and over and over again Scripture tells us, be not afraid, be not afraid, be not afraid, is because we get afraid. And because there are things in life that are scary.
Yeah.
There are times that make us waver and make us doubt. But the reality is that as we learn to trust in him, when we have those moments, when we have those times, we come back to him, we call out to him, we go to the right place, right? And that's where we find the hope and the strength that we need.
And the last verse, just to kind of finish up this teaching, this part, is trust in, is from Psalm 62:8. It says, "Trust in Him at all times, O people. Pour out your hearts to Him, for God is our refuge." Again, it is a safe place. It is a safe place to pour out our hearts, pour out our anxiety, pour out our worries. It's a safe place for us to do so. We might not want, we might not be the people who like to share our troubles with other people, with family members, with friends, because you want to hold on to that. But God, He's there. That's a place where you can do that. That's the place, the best place to be, is bringing out all your worries to God, because He is the refuge. Yeah. He's the protector. He's the one who you will feel safe when you're with Him.
Yeah. So the first point is that we, in trusting and learning to abide in God, is that we lean on Him regardless of the season. We surrender our worries and our doubts. And the third one is that we yield or surrender. And then honestly, in a lot of ways, this is the hardest part. Mm-hmm. That when you trust in the Lord, you yield and surrender to His will. You yield and surrender to what He asks of you. And that means releasing your plans. That means releasing your dreams and your goals and believing that His plan is better than your own. And that's difficult. And going back to Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, you know, we talked about trust in the Lord with your heart and lean not on your own understanding. But it goes on to say, in all your ways, acknowledge Him and He will make your path straight. So in other words, what he's saying here is in all your ways, submit to Him. Not just acknowledge like, hey, Lord, that's nice. I see it over there. I see what you're asking. No, it's acknowledge Him, meaning that you submit to His will and He will make your path straight. He will direct your paths, some of the translations say. So if we submit to His will, He will guide us in the way that we need to go. But that requires trust. And Psalm 16, verse 7 I love this because it kind of gives a visual of often how the place that we're in, where we need to trust Him. It says, "I will praise the Lord who counsels me. Even at night, my heart instructs me." And some of the translations say, "As I pour out my heart, He instructs me." And that's the visual that I imagine it says at night, right? Sometimes, you know, we go through the day, but then when it's quiet and we lay in our bed or at night when things calm down, that's when it becomes really hard to yield or surrender, to trust in the Lord with the things that kind of overtake us. But as we pour out our heart, as we continue to worship, as we continue to praise, we submit to God, and He gives us the counsel that we need so that we can make the choices that honor Him.
Yeah, and Jesus speaks about this very much in Matthew chapter 11. Verses 28 and 30, as He's teaching His disciples, He gives this personal message to His people. In verse 28, He says, "Come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." And in this yoke thing, I know a lot of people talk about yoke. When they're talking about yoke, it's not egg yolk, like, you know. When they talk about yoke, what they talked about is when two bulls or two horses or two donkeys or bulls, when they would farm, they would yoke two animals together at the neck. I don't know if you guys ever seen that big wooden piece. And they would go through to work the land with that way. But with this one, what he's talking about here is that the yoke is actually His teaching. When he's talking about this, he said, "Take my yoke upon you and learn from me." He's like, take my teaching, what I'm giving you, the understanding that I'm providing for you, this knowledge I provide for you, it is better. That's what's going to lift up your burden. Again, go into that lean on my understanding. Lean on, not on your side. Trust in me with all your heart. Lean not on your understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge me. So he's saying, like, in all your ways, acknowledge me. In all your ways, acknowledge my teaching. Everything that I have taught you so far, That's going to make your life easier. And that way we can walk through this life so much easier, so much better. And he's saying, like, and remember what he's talking about, like, these are Jewish people who've been yoked by the Deuteronomy and Leviticus, all those 613 laws. And they were heavy. They were yoked and they were walking around with all this knowledge of you can't do this, you can't do that, you can't do this, you can't do that, you can't look this way, you can't look that way, you got to tithe, you got to all these things, right? All these religious things that some of us who were raised in the church, we're like, man, I can't do this, I can't do that. Like, religion was not freedom. Religion was suffocating. It was literally looked at suffocating. What Jesus is saying here is that he's gentle and humble in heart. You will find rest in this kind of teaching. It's not burning. It shouldn't be burning. So sometimes for us, when we're like, man, I want to trust God, but it's so hard. And he's like, it's not supposed to be that hard. That's not what I came down on earth. That's not what I'm trying to teach you. He's saying, just surrender to me. Mm-hmm. Surrender to my teaching. Surrender to my, and it will become easier. You know, I think we all experience, maybe with kids, maybe with just people, we're like, listen, this is how you do it. And they try to do it their own way. Mm-hmm. You're like, if you just listen to me, it would be so much easier in your life. Right? All of us have raised teenagers here. Mm-hmm. Like, we have this, like, can you just listen to, trust me, this is going to be easy. And you're like, no, I got it. I know better. And they just bang their head against the wall over and over. Like, and you're like, child, please. And Jesus is saying the same thing. He's like, stop doing it your way because it's hard. Try to do it my way because my way is so much easier. Mm-hmm. Just trust me. Just surrender to me. Mm-hmm. It would be so much easier.
Yeah. And the visual of the yoke as well, it says to take on his yoke. And we might think of it as like, oh, he's putting this yoke on our shoulders and we have to work and we have to serve and we have to. But when you would yoke, like you said, you're taking two and you're binding them together. And the other person who is taking on that yoke is Christ. So there's that visual again of abiding, of dwelling together, mm-hmm. that as we move forward, we're not carrying the weight on our own, but he's carrying the weight. He's the one who's moving things forward. And because the bulk of it is on him and we're yoked to him, for us, it'll be easy and it'll be light. There's this old story. I don't remember who told it. It's been told by a million pastors over the years. But there's this illustration of a dad who's pushing a couch, right? And his son, who's like maybe 3 or 4 years old, wants to help. And so he gets underneath where the father is pushing and he begins to push against the couch and he's pushing with all of his might. And the dad is also pushing. And at the end, when they move it, the son is so proud of himself. He's like, look what I did. I was able to move the couch. But the reality is the son didn't really do much of anything at all. It was the father who moved the couch. But the son had the joy to be able to participate and feel he was contributing. And honestly, that's how it is with us. As we learn to trust in the Lord, he's doing the heavy lifting, but he invites us to participate. And it's like, oh, that's cute. You're doing this, or you're doing that, you're serving, and you think, and he's just like, oh, you know, I love your heart. But really, we just need to trust that he's doing the work, and we just get to participate in it. You want to do?
Galatians 2:20, our next thing is Galatians 2:20. It says, I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. Mm-hmm. The life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. We need to remember why we're living this life. We have been crucified with Christ, and we no longer live, but Christ lives in us. That's the life that we live. We need to forget I. And we need to remember that we are here to represent Christ, live out his life that he has for us. Mm-hmm. That's the total surrender. It's total surrender. If we say that we accept that Christ died for us, we accept that we surrender our life to us to it. If we say he's our Savior, we also accept that he's our Lord. We follow his command. We follow his understanding. We follow his examples of how to live the life.
Luke 9:23-24 says this. Jesus said, if anyone would come after me, he must deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. For whoever wants to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for me will save it. This is what trust looks like. This is what surrender looks like. Mm-hmm. is that we deny ourselves. It's no longer about us. You know, the church has been inundated with living your best life now and how to be prosperous and successful, and even just getting down to my purpose, my purpose-driven life and what God has for me. And that's not the true gospel. The true gospel is that this life is no longer ours. This life is no longer about us. It's about seeking His will and surrendering to His will, and that He will guide us in the way that we need to go. And His way is better than our way. Psalm 143, verse 8 says, "Let the morning bring me word of your unfailing love, for I have put my trust in you. Show me the way I should go, for to you I lift up my soul." As we look at this, as we deny ourselves, as we part of the way, so often we look and we're like, "God, you know, just show me what to do. God, help me make this decision. God, help me." And the reason why we're not hearing, the reason why we don't know and He doesn't reveal it to us, is one, because He knows we're not going to listen, right? And two, because we're not willing to deny and give up the things that we're holding on to. So He can't give us something new. He won't give us the counsel that we need unless we're willing to surrender and really trust Him the way that we claim we do.
Yeah. So just to kind of finish up this teaching for today, we're going to look at Jeremiah 17, verse 7 and 8. When we truly focus on trusting God, it says, "But blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, whose confidence is in Him." So first of all, we're blessed. When we trust God, we are blessed. It's another gift that we get. It says, "He will be like a tree planted by water that sends out roots by the stream. It does not fear." Oh, let me repeat that. "He will be like a tree planted by the water that sends out roots by the stream. It does not fear what heat comes. Its leaves are always green. It has no worries in a year of drought and never fails to bear fruit." So this teaching about when we trust in the Lord, when we send our foundation towards the Lord, like it says here that the roots are in the Lord. It doesn't matter what's happening on the outside. It might be drought. It might be scorching heat. It might be not raining, anything like that. The main thing that our roots, our foundation is in Christ. That whatever's happening on the outside, it will not shake the inside. And because when our inside is filled with what God has given us, that true living water, we can just keep living the life that God desires from us. And what people are going to see in the drought, they're still going to see freshness and joy because what we're grounded in, where our roots are in.
Yeah. And that's a picture as we launch more into this series on Abide, is that visual of, you know, when Jesus is talking about abide in me, it's in the context of John 15, where He says He is the vine and we are the branches. So there's this visual of a plant, right, that is rooted, of a plant that is taking nutrients from a source outside of the world around it, by going deep in its roots. And in the same way as what He read in Jeremiah, that as we learn to abide, we're digging our roots deep. And those roots, you know, we're going to talk about studying scripture and prayer and these different things that are what we need to do in order to have those roots grow deep, in order to truly abide. And this first one is to learn to trust. Real basic. You can't do the other things. You'll just be going through the motions. They won't mean a whole lot unless you really trust. Like, what good is it to study scripture day after day if you don't trust the word, right, that is contained in the scriptures, if you don't trust that it's living and active and has the power to transform you? So trust is the very first aspect, which is what we looked at today. And we'll finish with this verse from Isaiah 12, verse 2. It says, "Surely God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. The Lord is my strength and my song. He has become my salvation." And I would just encourage you, that's a really great verse to even just memorize. It's a beautiful picture of the fact that even if things aren't going our way, we can be reminded of the fact that he has made a way for us to find eternal life. He has found a way to reconcile us and restore us to himself, for our sins to be forgiven, for all of these things to be made new, to be made into a new creation. And so we don't need to be afraid. We can trust him. And I just love the fact that it says, not only is he our strength, which we talked about, but he is my song. And that's a beautiful imagery, that out of the overflow of our hearts, that we would sing, that God would become our song. You know, we hear on the radio, so much of the radio is inundated with these love songs for, you know, a partner that they have in this world who will fall short. You know, they sing that song and then the next week they put out a breakup song. But in our Christian life and our walk with the Lord can actually become our song, and that we can praise him because he has become that salvation, and because we are abiding in him through our trust.
Amen.